speaking with Gabriel Vitale, who is president of CNL Sweeper Service. Gabriel is a former winner of our Contractor of the Year award and is also a former past president of the North American Power Sweeping Association. We're talking about how to compensate an outside salesperson, and we'll cover for smaller accounts as well as for larger accounts. And first off, Gabriel, if you would, tell me your philosophy. You have two salespeople, and so if you have the luxury of two salespeople, you call one a pit bull and the other one a...
Well, we use the philosophy of a hunter and a...
That's it.
And a farmer.
Hunter and a farmer.
The hunter is more of the bird dog. We'll dig out the customers wherever they are, and the farmer is the one who develops and cultures the relationship.
Okay. And in terms of compensation, and I can see how you would treat each of those differently and how you would use them with customers to decide, you know, whether they needed to be, hunted up or whether they needed to have their customer, a heavy degree of customer service and handholding. And when it comes to compensation, what do you do there?
We establish we don't want it to be strictly a straight commission job, because we want them selling service and selling the relationship with the customers. So we do establish a base salary, and with the base salary comes a standard amount of business that they're expected to bring in, and then we pay a bonus or a commission of everything over and above that business.
Okay. What kind of range would you be in there without, using exacts? What's the kind of range that you'd be looking at for the kind of business you would expect them to bring in, and perhaps also what a base might consist of?
Well, hypothetically, we might pay somebody, let's just say, $75,000 a year for the first $5 million worth of business, including their health insurance and their company vehicles and so forth. And then, depending on the type of business they bring in, if they bring in sweeping or a low-margin account, they might get 1%. If they bring in something with pavement maintenance, like a crack-filling job, seal coating, a paving job, maybe some concrete work.
Which tend to be higher profit.
Higher profit margin areas. Mm-hmm. Then they can get something as high as 3% over and above their normal salary.
Okay. And if so you're saying you might set them out for something like $75,000 a year, and then but they would be required to get on track to getting the $5 million. So how long would you wait to see if they're on track for picking up the business?
Well, we're in the process of reevaluating that, but right now this all happens at the end of the year. It's a one-time check over and above their salary that we pay at the end of our fiscal year.
Okay. But when the guy starts, you say, well, here's what we expect to be able to pay you at the end of the year. Here's how much business we expect you to bring in. Would you hypothetically divide the $75,000 by 12 and start paying them this month?
Yeah, the $75,000 would be in a 52-week salary.
Okay. And that could or wouldn't include benefits and so forth, and could be different depending on, of course, your market area and your prospects and that kind of thing. You're in a large market area, of course.
We don't want our salespeople to incur any cost of their own, because we feel it might affect their relationship or how much they're willing to spend with the customer. And we monitor their expenses, but we pay all their expenses, including their company vehicle and their health.
Okay. Are there other factors that you would consider in a smaller market? Let's say, what other ideas are there? Creative ideas that if you didn't have the capital to commit to, say, the $75,000 a year, how might you approach it with a commission-only system?
Well, straight commission's nice, but everyone needs some money, and I mean, straight commission plus draw is something, but I feel as a company we need to put something on the table for the employee also. Hypothetically, you could pay somebody $25,000 a year and make it accountable for the first $500,000 or the first $1 million worth of business. Maybe a company, and an easy way to establish that is maybe the company's already doing $500,000 a year before hiring the sales rep and wants to increase their market share or increase markets in different areas. So they might want to give the person 25, the salesperson either 25 or 40 or 50, whatever they feel the right number is, for that initial $50,000, $500,000 worth of business, and tell them, this is existing, we want you to maintain this, we're going to pay you this much money just to maintain this, but then we want you to, and you'll get so much, so many percentage points above $500,000. One of the reasons why I wasn't comfortable with straight commission is this isn't a one-time sale. You have to constantly repeat, sell, go back, and keep those relationships going with your existing customers. If they're only getting paid on commission for future business, I feel that would hurt the relationships with their existing customers. They'd always just be looking for new business.
Okay. So a person might hire a salesperson because they're having trouble holding on to their existing business and may just pay that extra money for the extra person that's out there hand-holding and making sure that you maintain your customers.
Absolutely.
And then get paid over and above that.
Absolutely. It's well worth it. It's much easier to maintain an existing customer than try to find a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot less expensive, too.
Okay. And you have, just to be clear, your own company has a full slate of services. It's not just, it's parking lot sweeping and street sweeping and virtually any kind of pavement maintenance, graffiti removal. The list goes on and on, I know.
That is correct.
Okay. Any final thoughts on what a person should look for when hiring such a person?
Not really. We do some profile testing, personality testing, to see if they're right for the job. But obviously, it is a sales position, so if that salesperson can't sell you in the interview, then chances are they're not going to sell your company out on the job either.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do some background checks. You definitely want to check what they've done in the past. And
previous sales records. Previous sales references
previous
would be very
references.
Important. Okay.
And it's all gut instinct at that point. I mean, but don't go cheap. If you really feel somebody's worth it, a lot of times, give them a little bit extra and don't try to nickel and dime them in the beginning. I think you'll find that it's well worth it because we hired the right person.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to give it to them anyway. So if you feel the person's right for the company and there's a nice fit with you and your team, make it work. A lot of times, the difference that the two that you and the employer are part of peanuts in the big picture.
And this is the face of your company.
Excuse me?
And this is the face of your company, you might say. They're going to be the good foot you have forward, because that's what people will think of your company. I mean, they need to be presentable. They need to be well-spoken.
Oh, the face, I'm sorry.
The face, yeah.
You said the safe.
Mm-hmm.
That too. No, it is, absolutely. I'm not in this. I have a marketing sales background, and I'm just not in the field as much as I need to be. As our companies grow, you find yourself behind a desk and looking at a computer more. So you need to, you know, one thing you want to do is you want to keep doing the things that made you successful. And I think that's a lot of failures to a lot of companies. As they get successful, they stop doing the things that got them there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to do it yourself, then you got to find the right person to do it so we don't skip a beat.
Sounds very good. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.